So this morning, y'all, we continue in our sermon series titled Thrive. And as we said on last week, listen, in this life, in this world, it's not just about surviving in this world. It's not just about taking a breath in space in this world. It's not just about living under mediocrity and meagerness. But all of us ought to want to thrive in this world, to do the best we can, to be the best we can, to increase, to flourish, to grow, to mature, especially to mature in Christ, that we want to thrive in this world. And to thrive in this world, y'all, it's got to be more than about the stuff that we have. Thriving this world has everything to do with thriving God's way and not our way. When we thrive God's way, it will bless us, y'all, but it brings glory to God Almighty. So I certainly believe, and I hope you believe with me, that when we pursue certain practices, y'all, we do certain things, it will cause us to thrive in this world, but not the world's way, but God's way. I believe that when we thrive God's way, you will be joy-filled. Yes. You can be resilient in your faith, that no matter what comes your way, that you can thrive and you can hold your head up in the Lord. So last week, y'all, if you remember, we came from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Where it says, seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, live holy, live the way God wants you to live, and he will add everything, give everything that you need. That God will give you everything you need. And so in context, we were talking about material possessions and money and all of that. That's what Jesus is talking about in that text. We talked about living the good life. The good life looks differently to all of us in the house today. For some of y'all, it may be about having some things. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It may be about having a title and a name. Ain't nothing wrong with that either. But listen, things cannot have you. Your title cannot have you. That if we're to live the good life, we have to put God first. We have to have a God-focused life, y'all. God has to be the top priority of our lives. So turn with me, y'all, quickly, y'all, to Colossians chapter 3. As we read verses 23 through 24, we read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this: work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for men. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. I want to encourage our hearts this morning as we prepare to encourage our graduates this afternoon from the thought, work that matters. Work that matters. Tell you a little story about a gentleman in our neighborhood, a man in our neighborhood that the fellas, the young folk, we called him Bobo. The Bobo lived in our community. Bobo lived in our neighborhood. I've told this story before. Maybe you've heard it. I want to tell you again because I like it. That Bobo was about 5'6", 5'7", kind of a lanky guy, but he was real strong. That Bobo had a speech impediment. He had a facial scar. He had been burned, I guess, early in life, so he had this burn mark on his face. But one thing I still remember about Bobo is that he smelled like garbage. But Bobo smelled like garbage because he was what we called a garbage man or a sanitation worker. That he worked for the city of Memphis, Tennessee as a sanitation worker. That he had a dirty and smelly job. And so you would only imagine riding on the back of that truck and picking up folks' trash and mess every day that the garbage smell would get on you. So Bobo smelled like garbage. So us young people, we didn't know any better, y'all. We didn't have good sense. And so the fellow, we would tease Bobo all the time. Because he had a speech impediment, y'all. We were wrong. God is gracious, but he talked sometimes. You didn't know what he was saying, and so we, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And so we called him Bobo. Yeah. Sister Iris Dunn, I know it was wrong. God is good. God is gracious. God is forgiving. But guess what? He would tease us right back, y'all. He said, blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, we grew real fond of Bobo. But I still remember Bobo today, that he was gracious, that he was a kind fella, that he was filled with humility, And Bobo, y'all, he had pride in the work that he did. He had pride in his job, y'all. He rode on the back of that white sanitation, that truck, y'all, back there. They had these white trucks, you know. He ride on the back of it like it's a white horse, y'all. He'd be holding on and smiling, y'all. He'd jump off of their truck, y'all, and he'd pick up those galvanized steel trash cans. See, they got these claws today, y'all know. I like to watch them. They get these little claws to pick up your can and throw it on the truck, y'all, empty it out. And, you know, they break your can, man, crack the top of your can, throw it on the ground, y'all, mess it all up. But no, back then, so young people, they had these galvanized steel, these heavy trash cans. But he picked those things up like nobody's business, dump it in the back of that truck, sit it back down, put the can on, smile, wave at you, jump on the back of that truck, y'all, and ride. Bobo was enthusiastic about what he did, that he served the community. He served the community well. Bobo understood his work, and he did it well. I believe the same thing for us, y'all. As we talk to our graduates this afternoon, I want to mention that to us, that God expects us to do our job, to do our work well, whatever it may be, that you ought to work as you work unto the Lord. Our work, no matter how big or small, is an opportunity to serve God and to live out our faith with integrity and purpose. So in our text today, listen, the Apostle Paul shares what it looks like to be a child of God, to be a believer. But Paul talks about what it looks like to live a new life in Jesus Christ. You look at Colossians chapter 3. He talks about, first, listen, we ought to seek those things that are above, heavenly things more than earthly things. Because what we have in store for us, ahead of us, are things in heaven and not things on earth. That Paul says to the folk then and the folks now, listen, we ought to treat people right. If you are a born-again believer, you ought to treat your brother or your sister, you ought to treat folk right. He talks about the husband and the wife relationship, that the wife is to submit to her husband. It's not a dirty word, y'all. It's not a dirty word. To submit to her own husband. I see you, Bria. I see. It's not a dirty word. But husbands ought to love their wives. And I just believe this. If a husband loves his wife the way she needs to be loved, she has no problem submitting to her husband. Amen, somebody. That he talks about the parent-child relationship. I got some amens on that. The parent-child relationship. The children, you are to obey your parents. And I know some of y'all, I'm looking around, y'all out of y'all folk house, you still respect your parents. But if you are in your parents' household, listen, what they say, it goes. When it's time to be in the house, it's time to be in the house at a certain time. As a matter of fact, you might be grown and visiting, but if they say, if my door closed at this time, my door closed at this time. And that's the way it is. But children are to obey their parents. And then he talks about something that's interesting. It's a hard subject, y'all, for us. He talks about the slave and the slave-master relationship. Because of the stain that this whole issue of slavery has left on us as Americans, it's a hard subject to broach, to talk about. But Paul's not really talking about this relationship in death. He doesn't really condemn it or condone it. Yeah. But what he says to the believers then is, listen, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are a slave owner, how you treat your slave, it ought to be different. Yeah. If you are a slave, listen, you ought to work well for your master. That what he's condoning in the text is the proper relationship that transcends human relationships when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you ought to treat everybody right. You ought to love folk. Come on, hello somebody in the house today. That God has no favorites. And so this morning we consider this in this text, listen, this work or whatever we do, I realize this, not everybody works a 9-to-5. Not everybody works outside of the house, but all of us have some work to do. All of us have a whatever. Yeah. That on a day-to-day basis, you ought to have some whatever that you do in your life and in my life. When we work as unto the Lord, we find meaning, though, beyond what this earth and this earth's value and the system says. That we look to God and we look to greater things that are ahead. We look to the rewards that God has for us. A life that thrives and flourishes in vocation and calling, seeks to honor God in everything we do. Can you honestly say that this morning, that you honor God in everything that you do, and even more important, to everything that you say as well? So a few things we're going to gather from this text, y'all, and we're going to get on and get ready for our graduation ceremony this afternoon. A few things I want us to take away from this text, a few suggestions I want to leave with you. First, work that matters, not just in what you do, but what you say, it means seeing our work as worship. Say that with me, seeing my work as worship. Oh, y'all quiet on this side. Seeing my work as worship. Paul's words calls us to work willingly at whatever we do, as though we are working for the Lord and not for other people. That it's not just a job, it becomes a form of worship, a devotion to God. Think about this for a minute. Every task that you do, whether you are supervising people, whether you own your own business, whether you're managing a group of people, whether you're leading a team, is it customer service, patient care, in the medical field, you're teaching, you're caring for your family and for your children, for your husband or wife, you're cleaning up your room, that you're going off to college and you're doing the college work that needs to be done, it ought to be offered as unto the Lord, as devotion to him and not to a person. Listen to me, y'all. I found out something in life. When you just feel like you're working as unto a person, you can get messed up real fast. Any witnesses in the house today? Because there's some folk in this world that you work for, they don't treat you right. And sometimes they will treat you right, they will talk to you right, they'll elevate you one day, they'll put you down the next day. But when they do that, you cannot be all up in your feelings and mad at them. When they are your focus, your sole focus, it will be that way. But when whatever you do, when you do it as unto the Lord, listen, you ain't got to worry about them. Right. Some of y'all work in the house and you work well. Sometimes folk don't come home and with the right attitude and the right feeling. Now you up in your feelings and stuff too. talking to somebody in the house today. But whatever you do it as unto the Lord and not to a person. Because people will mess you up. Listen, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. A great way to honor the Lord as you show up in the world, y'all, is through what you do and what you say. As the young folks say, you got to represent. Can I ask you how you're representing? So anybody ever gone to a retail store? You go into a certain establishment, y'all, maybe it was a restaurant, and it was evident to you right away that they wouldn't represent Jesus. they wasn't representing the establishment well. You could readily tell they were having a bad day, y'all. And because they were having a bad day, they took it out on you. Any witnesses in the house ever been there before? It was obvious they were not having a good day. They had all sorts of attitude, y'all. But listen to me, it does not matter whether you're flipping a burger, whether you're in the business finance, whether you're a dishwasher, a doctor, a lawn care person, or a lawyer, your motivation matters. How you treat people, how you show up in the world, how you represent matters. And especially as a believer, as a child of God, how you represent, how you show up in the world, it matters, and it matters to God. Listen, poor behavior and attitude don't represent God well at all. Some of y'all smiling, I see your faces. So when we approach what we do as worship, I just believe we find this deeper purpose, this sense of meaning. It may be the most mundane of tasks, stuff that's rote that you do over and over again, but when we do it as unto the Lord, y'all, it brings intentionality. It brings this relational piece to it because you know who you are doing it for, and you can do it with your whole heart, whatever the task may be. So let me say to you, are you representing well? Don't embarrass the Lord. Y'all hear what I said? Anybody, you carry your family's last name and mama, dad, don't you embarrass me. We gonna get out here in these streets, we gonna get to this store, don't you embarrass me. Don't you say the wrong thing, don't you do the wrong thing, don't you touch, don't embarrass me. I wonder how many of us at times, God may be saying it to us and then it's, don't embarrass me. You embarrassing me. You behind the wheel of the car, y'all, and you driving down the road. Somebody cuts you off. Do you embarrass the God by what you say? It got quiet. So we're talking about work, y'all. We're talking about our vocation. We're talking about how we show up in this world. Everything that we do it as unto the Lord and not to people. Working for the Lord brings a deeper satisfaction than anything in this earth, in this world could ever do. So some of y'all remember old movie. It predates me, and that's a long time. It's an old movie, though. It's a Disney movie called Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I'm talking about the old one. I think they had one that recently came out. I'm not talking about this new stuff. But y'all, in this old movie, y'all, Snow White, she up in the house, and she got the squirrels and the rabbits, and she got the deer up in the house, and she got everybody working, y'all. And that real high voice, I can't get that. She would whistle while you work. Some of y'all remember that. You remember that. See, I got some witnesses in the house today. And you know, the rabbit, he jumping around, you know, washing the dishes, you know. The squirrel, you know, he's scrubbing with his tail and all of that. And two squirrels, y'all, I remember the movie, two squirrels, they take some dust and they sweep it under the carpet. She said, num, 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 num. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Don't sweep it under the rug. I wonder how much stuff we sweeping under the rug with God. We show up, and what are we sweeping? What are we throwing in the closet as we work for the Lord in whatever we do? But how about this? Rather than whistling while we work, how about this? Why don't we worship while we work? God, that this job is unto you. God, I thank and praise you for the privilege of doing what you called me to do. How about worshiping as you work? Seeing your work as a form of worship, devotion to God in whatever you do. I think when we do that, it takes me to my next point. We represent Christ well. We can then find ourselves working with integrity and excellence. Working with integrity and excellence. Being honest in our work. Working with excellence. Paul says work willingly, or the King James says heartily. I don't think it's talking about perfectionism. That we seek the best that we do with whatever God calls us to do. But you don't have to necessarily be a perfectionist. Striving for perfection, yeah. But work with excellence, not for human recognition, because we know God, y'all, guess what? He values integrity. God values honesty. God values the fact that we show up and we work with everything that we got. When we show up in the world, we show up, y'all, with our A game, because we're empowered by God the Almighty. So example, so when you show up at the doctor's office, you want the doctor to show up with his A game too, don't you? Don't half-step with me. Well, I think what you might have, and I ain't sure about it. You know, let me go back and read the book for a little while, and I'll get back with you. Take this medicine. It may not help you. It may not. You better show up your A-game. Tell me what I need. Be very specific. What I need to be taking. What's going on with me. Don't show up with your I need an A-game. When you go to the restaurant, you want that person that waits to show up with your A-game. Don't throw bread at me. Don't side-eye at me. What you want? I've had it happen to me before too, y'all. Believe me. What you want? Memphis, Tennessee, help us today. You want folks to show up with their A game. Sir, ma'am, how can I help you? How can I serve you today? Would you like some fresh bread? Would you like some fresh rolls? You know, you want them to show up that way. God wants us to show up that way too in whatever we do. Whatever God calls you, he wants you to show up that way. He wants you to show up that way in your family. He wants you to show up that way on your job. Whatever your vocation, whatever your calling may be, God wants you to show up with integrity and excellence. Listen, you have to bloom where you are planted. I want to say to our young folk this afternoon, our graduates, you have to bloom where you're planted. That you don't come out of high school and you get the job that you necessarily want right off the bat. You got to work your way up. And even in high school and college sometimes, you got to flip some burgers. You got to dip some fries down in that hot grease. You know, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with that too. Listen, if you are a manager of a McDonald's or one of those stores, good for you. Last I checked, I was going by McDonald's. They said $15 an hour. I hit the brakes. I said, what? They paying $15 an hour at McDonald's? That's some pretty good money in my mind. So we bloom where we are planted. Whatever God has called you to do in this, bloom, flourish, thrive. You can't show up in some stuff where I really don't want to be here. I don't want to. So I'm gonna half step. I ain't bringing my A game. I'm gonna half do some stuff. You're gonna get all the way fired. But you show up with your A game. In high school, in college, show up with your A game. Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. The grades that you're making it, see, you're doing that as unto the Lord. It's also as you can graduate and go get a job too. That's what your parents want. But you do it as unto the Lord. I think about the number of people that are part of this ministry, y'all, that operate in integrity and character and excellence. I remember when we started this ministry many years ago, part of another church, and young man that's here with us now, that he was at the previous church, and I would watch him, y'all. When you show up on Sundays, I'd just watch him, and he'd be sitting in the congregation and wouldn't say anything, kept his mouth shut, listen to the sermon. Sometimes he had his arms folded, get right back up and walk out. I knew his last name was Hyatt because he looked like his daddy. Y'all, one Sunday when we started the ministry, y'all, in a clubhouse, guess who shows up? Don Hyatt Jr. Sitting right there in the congregation, about 30 of us, y'all. Now, he said, I'm going, And he sat there, he sits there and he looks. He didn't fold his arms. He smiled. He clapped. I'm talking about who we know as Sport, Don Hyatt Jr. And ever since he became a part of this ministry, y'all, he does it with a level of integrity and character like nobody's business. And some of y'all know his story. He worked for Toys R Us for a long period of time. And he said, listen, if I can work for a giraffe, how much more can I not work for the Lord? And so he works like nobody's business with integrity and excellence and character. I think about folk in this congregation, y'all, as I look around this room. I don't want to mention all the names, but so much integrity, so committed, so much character. And I know you do it because you do it as unto the Lord and not for a mere man, not for a paycheck, because a lot of y'all don't get one here. But God has greater in store for you. Proverbs 22:1 says this: the power of a good name is to be chosen above riches. Favor is better than silver or gold. I especially want to talk to young people in the house today. Listen, you want a good name. You want God's favor. God's favor will take you further than anything else will. You can have all of the intellect in the world. You can be smart as a whip. But I tell you, God's favor will take you some places, y'all. Anybody know that? Is that anybody? God's favor will take you some places in this world that something a man cannot do. When we strive to do our best for the Lord, even, y'all, in the ordinary things, the mundane things, the things that people don't see, God sees, and God will honor you for the work that you do. And here's something else I found out, plug in for evangelism. Listen, when you show up on a job, a vocation, or your calling, and you do it with excellence, y'all, you do it with integrity, you honest, y'all, listen, people will see that. You show up for work on Monday with a smile on your face. You show up on Monday with a smile on your face. Y'all show up on Monday with a smile on. Some of y'all smile right. So yeah, some of y'all say, I don't work, so I smile every day. to Diane back there. But though you may not have a vocation, maybe you may not have a 9-to-5, you may be retired, but God still called you to do a work. God had you here for a purpose and for a reason. But you show up on Monday with a smile. You come back to lunch on time, y'all. You don't. You don't backstab folk and run people down at the water cooler, at the coffee area. That you walk in integrity and honesty. People want to know something about you. There's something special about you. And that gives you opportunity to tell them about Jesus. With God on your side and the Holy Spirit inside you, your work becomes a supernatural effort. And it all points to God, y'all. That he gets the glory out of it. We honor him, and God will bless us in turn. This last point, y'all, and I'm through. It points to something well beyond the understanding of this world and what this world can give us. It's this: knowing that your work comes with rewards that are out of this world. Finally, y'all, Paul reminds us that as we do well in the work that God calls us to do, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. Our true reward, y'all, is it's not just about the earthly stuff that we can get. You get a paycheck. You get a plaque. You get a certificate. But Paul says that God has rewards for us. And so this has the ability, y'all, to shift our thinking. Because it's not just about the paycheck. It's not just about a title. It's not just about success in the world's eyes. It becomes about pleasing God and knowing that God has great things in store for you and for me. It shifts our perspective. It's not just a job, y'all. We see it as something that's valuable in God's eyesight. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this: "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Can you be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your work in the Lord is never in vain. Why do you do what you do? I ask our leaders that, yes, why do you do what you do? What's the motivation of your heart? Is it just for people? Is it just for success? Is it just for fame? Or do you do what you do as unto the Lord? Galatians 6:9 says this: "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we will reap if we don't faint." Amen. Why do you do what you do? Who do you do it for? The book by the late Tim Keller, loving with a great pastor, great preacher and author, book titled Every Good Endeavor. He says this: "Our work can be a calling only if it is reimagined as a mission of service to something beyond merely our own interest." That the work becomes more than about a dollar bill. More than just a job. Yeah. Well, I just do this to earn a paycheck. What I do with the rest of my life, that's on me. But what if what we do, that 9 to 5, our whatever, inside the home, taking care of the task at home, yeah, what if your whatever, what if your work that you do, you really do it as unto the Lord? Again, God promises in the text that he's going to give you a reward. And that reward, y'all, is out of this world. It's more than you could ever hope for or imagine. So why do you do what you do, and who do you do it for? Do you do it as unto the Lord? Don't measure success by worldly standards, y'all. The people in this world, don't worry if people, if men don't applaud you. As long as God approves of you, that's all that really matters. People may not clap for you. People, they may not say you're all of that. But as long as you have God's approval, y'all, you have everything you need. I don't know about y'all, but I want to hear him say, "Well done." Love, you did a good job. Love, look, I'm proud of you, love. You did well. I want to hear him say, "Well done." Thriving in whatever you do means trusting that God will reward your faithfulness. Every act of service, every little thing that you do, do it as unto the Lord. It matters to him. It's valuable to him. So prepare to close, y'all. I'm reminded that many years have passed, but I still remember Bobo, the sanitation worker, Bobo, the garbage man, worked for the city of Memphis in their sanitation department, that he emptied people's trash. He emptied people's garbage. That he took care of other people's mess. That he smelled like garbage because he was a sanitation worker. That the smell of garbage would get on him. But Bobo reminds me, y'all, of somebody greater than Bobo. Somebody greater than the Apostle Paul in our text today. Somebody greater than any human being. Because he had a work that he had to do. And he's the greatest example of anyone who can work any other kind of work. That our trash, y'all, that our mess, our issues, our stuff, our secrets, that he showed up one day on this earth to die, to give his life for our stuff, for your garbage and your trash and my trash. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That he had the work of salvation that he had to do, y'all, and our trash became his task. And he did it so well, y'all. The Hebrew writer, he said that he worked a work like nobody else could work. Who for the joy that was set before him, listen, that he did it with joy. He did it with excellence, y'all. I believe he did it with a smile on his face. That he died for you and for me. He went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. And he did it in an excellent way. He showed us what it looks like in a work that matters, y'all, a work that matters, that the work of salvation mattered for you and for me. And if he would work like that for you and me and die for you and for me, what can we not do? What can we not do for him? That your work, it matters. It may not matter to people. It matters to God. The motivation of your work and whatever you do, it matters to God. Your vocation, your calling, whatever you do at home, whatever you do, your whatever, it matters most to God. So let Jesus be your great example of what it looks like to work a work and a work of work that matters. And to God be the glory. And the church said amen. So as you look at what it means to thrive in your work, I want to leave us with three things. First, pray over your work each day. Ask God as you pray every morning, God, let the work that I do, let how I serve you, let it honor you today, oh God, because I know I represent you. When I show up in the world, oh God, I want to show up in a way, God, that you're proud of me. That I can hold my head up. No, I'm working for you, God. It might be a job that you do not want to be on. You just don't want to be there. But can you pray over that work? And can you let it honor the Lord today? Then commit to an area of integrity or excellence. Listen, you work well in what you do. You do your job well. But is there one area of your job where you can improve? Where you can do just maybe a little bit better? Why not improve? Ask God to give you wisdom and strength that you can improve in that area and be better at what you do. Thrive at what you do. And then lastly, seek ways to serve others through your work. Can you be a representative of Jesus Christ? Treat people with love and kindness and respect. Support them and to listen to them. Because people in this world, y'all, they need a relationship with Jesus. But can you show up in a way, y'all, where you serve other people in your work? It may be in your home. It may be in the work that you do in the church. But can you show up in a way that you're serving other people? Because I certainly believe this. Work submitted to God first is work that will always matter. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this word today. God, it's our heart's desire to thrive in all that we do. On this graduation Sunday, God, help us all to graduate in all that we do, that we would do it as unto you, O God. Speak to hearts right now, Holy Spirit. God, for those that are in the workforce today and perhaps people on jobs that they don't want to be on, but help them to still show up, God, in a way that honors you, that brings praise and glory to your name, because it all matters to you. God, we open our hearts, Lord God, to receive this word today, because we want to represent you well. We want to bring our A game to everything we do, God, because it's for your glory. And we know that you will bless us. You will reward us beyond what our paycheck or anything this world can give us, oh God. You will honor us. You will reward us. So again, thank you for the work that you called us to do. Whatever you've called us to do, we do it for your glory. And Father, we remember in this moment the work that Jesus did for all of us. That all of our sins were dumped on him. All of our mess, all of our stuff, all of our secrets, all of the hidden places. All the stuff that you know, he went to Calvary's cross for us. And for that, we are grateful that he died and was placed in a grave, but he did not stay there. 3 days later, he got back up with all power, a power to save us, to rescue us from our sins and our stuff and our mess. Thank you for his work of salvation. And God, as we work the works that you've given us to do, because night is coming when no man can work, God. We work for you. And we work willingly and heartily, knowing that you will reward us someday. Speak to a heart right now. to that person that may not be in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that their hearts would be open to you in this moment. And God, we thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So perhaps there's someone here today, you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We invite you in this moment to enter into that relationship. We all admit that we are sinners, that we sin before God, that none of us are perfect, no, not one. That when it comes to sin, that we miss the target. God is a holy God. All of us miss it. All of us miss it. But through the divine work of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you and for me, we can have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says that saves it, that settles it. And so maybe you're believing that for the first time today. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now, and their arms are extended. We want to invite you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They will lead you to room number one, where we will have a new member ministry advisor to speak with you, to talk to you about what it means to be saved. If you feel that tug at your heart right now, why don't you get up from where you are right now, let them lead you to room number one. They'll gather some information and we'll welcome you with open arms. Would there be one? We don't rush this moment. Maybe you're already saved. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere where you can worship with other believers, fellowship with other believers, serve with other believers, pray for one another. Won't you come right now? Won't you come?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.